Why? So I remember finishing school and then loving Namibia. That's been my hobby. Henning is smiling, he knows that. I came here, worked on a hunting farm, was an awesome time in my life, learned quite a lot. And me and my sister, we differ 1 year at school, you know. So when I worked a year and she finished school, we were supposed to obviously went to university the same year. And I think her biggest fear was that I would go to university with my velskoene, my PT broek, and my khaki hemp. And that, you know, anyone would find out we're related in any way, you know. That would have been very embarrassing to her. Very important point I'm making right now. And then I went on, studied, you know, while I was at the University Stellenbosch, which is a wonderful place for various reasons. I had one girlfriend in 4 years, which I think is quite below average. I think my sister was kind of impressed that her brother could actually get a girlfriend. She was actually in church, so it was quite a good one in that sense. But nevertheless, didn't work out, it wasn't my wife. And, you know, then in 2005, like most healthy young men should be, I was working for my second year, and I was also on the lookout for that thing called the wife, you know, that most of us in life is looking for if you're male, I believe. And I remember on the 20th of February, I went to a good friend of mine who turned out to be my best man at our wedding. You know, I went there for waffles and roomies on that hot summer's night. And I remember I stayed with two friends. And, you know, that Sunday evening after church, you know, I met a lady there. It was a very special lady, you know. And I got to know her. And in that same year, 2005, November, we got engaged. And the next year, in May, we got married. And that is my wife, Maritza. Okay? And I think my sister was blown away that I could get a wife like that, you know. She was very impressed with her brother. I think she never thought that would happen. But we serve a good God who's faithful, you know. And that's awesome. So I met that girl, and I remember a few things about her. And one is she wore shirts, and this shirt didn't say, well, what brand. She wasn't into brands. It said God's girl. And there was a sticker on her car that said Christ inside, you know. And she was quite radical. I like that, but, you know, I'm quite a, yeah, how will I put it? You know, I'm quite a conservative type of a, don't go too high or too low, just keep it safe, you know. But I like this girl. Probably the blue eyes really did it for me. That was a blessing, you know. And I remember that girl was really sold out for Christ. And then obviously as the twins came and Ulrika came, you know, I think mums for some reason, they battled a little bit in that first few years to be totally saved, if you hear what I'm saying. Young people, you won't understand. The mums in the house, you will know if you haven't prayed or slept for 2 days. Yeah, it's tough. But nevertheless, today my wife is going to preach. I asked her to preach, and she said, no, that sounds too bad. I asked her, will you come and tell a story for the church? And she said, that's fine. She will do that. So she's going to come and tell you a story. So my wife, you can come and stand next to me. And you can tell your story. So I'm not sure if I'm nervous for whatever reason, but I know she doesn't have to be nervous for any reason.
Thank you. I'm all emotional. I haven't even started yet. I would just like you to close your eyes and yeah, I just want to pray for us. Thank you, Father God, that we can just know, Lord Jesus, that it's not about us, Father God, but it's all about you, Lord Jesus. Lord, and I just pray that this story that I'm going to tell today, Father God, that it will really bear fruit, Father God. Lord, I just pray that your name will be glorified in it, Father God, and that, yes, Lord, that it will just fall on ground, Father God, that has been prepared, Father God, and that the seed will grow, Father God. Thank you, Jesus. Okay. I am very nervous as I'm standing here because I'm used to one-on-one conversations in a mirror where it's just me and the client and I can go all out there. So this is quite new to me, and English is not my mother tongue. Afrikaans is, so if I make a few mistakes, please excuse me. The story I'm going to tell you is, let me start with salvation. I just want to say that for me, I always knew that somewhere in my life, I had to give my heart to the Lord. I was living a life of just being a normal girl at the age of 20. Well, I won't say it's normal because it definitely wasn't. At the age of 21 till 27, where I was, I lived in Stellenbosch. I was a hairdresser there. I liked partying. I was out there living the life. And I always knew that somewhere I have to change my life. I have to give my heart to the Lord. To me, it was quite clear because there was people in my family that were reborn Christians, and I could see the fruit in their lives. I could see that something in them has changed, and I wanted that. And I remember this one day in the salon, it was very weird. It was about in 2000, and I was doing this elderly lady's hair. I think I was blow drying it or cutting, or, something like that. And I remember the next moment, she asked me, young girl, have you ever given your heart to the Lord? Are you a reborn Christian? And I thought to myself, oh my word, is she blind? I am definitely not there. And I thought, okay, well, I'm going to answer like this. I said to her, no, I haven't. But my uncle and my grandmother and my grandfather, they are reborn Christians. So I knew that they are reborn Christians because I could see the fruits in their life. I knew that something was different in them. And Carl always tells me that to him, it wasn't like that. To him, it was just went to church. He was a good guy, had no girlfriends. I think he held one's hand in a trick or something at 9 or something around there. So he was just, he was going to church, being a good guy, just living life normally. And so salvation to him wasn't that radical. Okay. 2004. Dry mouth, is this normal? Luckily, I'm not shaking. Okay, 2004, 27 June, I think it was around about 9 o'clock that evening, Fred preached at Shofar in Stellenbosch. I went to church for the fourth time to Shofar that Sunday. I went the first Sunday and I thought, wow, this is amazing. I love this. It's not what I'm used to, but I can get used to this. Second time I went, it was good still. Third time, amazing. Fourth time, I sat there. Fred preached about corporate anointing. I don't have a clue what it's about. But I sat there that evening, and all I know is that 9 o'clock that evening when they made the altar call, I sat in the chair, and I remember they said that you must put up your hand if you want to accept Jesus in your life. And I put up my hand, and I thought, okay, great, I did it. And I stood there, and then they did the very bold thing that they always do, and they say, the people who put up their hands, please come to the front. And I thought, there is no way I'm going to the front. And I just stood there, and I don't know till today how it happened, but when I opened my eyes, I was in front of the church. There I stood. Okay. So this girl came and prayed for me. Esther was her name. I just remember her name. And the next moment, I fell to the ground, flat on my face. There I was lying, and I just realized something happened. Something in my spirit happened. I got spirit-filled that day. I remember reading the Bible that evening when I got home, and it was like this whole new book that everything just made sense. It was just, and I couldn't get enough of it, and I threw away the cigarettes. I my cupboard had a whole transformation. I just wore like jeans, barefoot, white t-shirts with God's girl, no makeup. I just went through this whole making holy progress. So to me, salvation was quite radical. It was a 180 degrees change. Okay, so where my story begins is, this was just the intro. I like this. Where the story begins is, I think it was around about 3 years ago, I was working at Mirena's hair salon in Pionierspark. So there was an appointment in the book. It said Marie Cut and Blow. And I thought, okay, cool. I don't recognize the name. Marie comes in. She's very sophisticated. It's a French lady from France. And I started cutting her hair, and we built relationship. She came back a second time, a third time, a fourth time. So we were just having this client hairdresser relationship in the salon. And today I realized that that was actually a divine appointment by God. God sent her to me on that specific day that she had an appointment with me. So I was just being me, and I moved to my house, opened my salon there. One day Marie phoned again. She made an appointment at my salon at my house, cut her hair, and we just chatted away. And then in October last year, 2013, Marie had an appointment again. I booked at 3 o'clock in the afternoon. And usually after my 3 o'clock client, I book someone at 3:30 or 3:45, because you just book the clients after each other. And that specific day, I didn't book anyone after her. It was just me and her and Rosemary in the salon. So me and Marie were talking, and she was a bit emotional, and I just listened to her while she was talking. And the next moment, she popped the question, and she looked at me, and she said, "Maritza, you have something that I don't have." And I thought, uh-oh. I have not led someone to the Lord in like 6 years' time. I've been in the baby room the last 6 years. I do not even know the salvation prayer, but I know that she wants to meet Jesus today. So I just thought the Holy Spirit prompted me to share my testimony. And I just shared my testimony in a nutshell. Broken relationships, got married at the age of 21, got divorced at the age of 23. It was just a disaster. And then in 2004, I gave my heart to the Lord. So I told the whole testimony to her. And she just looked at me and she said, "Maritza," and she could relate to everything I said. And she just said to me, "Maritza, but I want what you have. I want that, and I want it now." And at that stage, I just want to quote you this scripture. It's John 4, verse 7. And it's so amazing because it just sums up what she said there. A woman from Samaria came to draw water. Jesus said to her, "Give me a drink." For his disciples had gone away into the city to buy food. The Samaritan woman said to him, "How is it that you, a Jew, ask for a drink for me, a woman of Samaria?" Jesus answered her, "If you knew the gift of God and who is this that is saying to you, 'Give me a drink,' you would have asked him and he would have given you living water." The woman said to him, "Sir, you have nothing to draw water with, and the well is deep. Where do you get that living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob? He gave us the well and drank from it himself, as did his sons and his livestock." Jesus said to her, "Everyone who drinks of this water will be thirsty again. But whoever drinks of the water that I will give him will become in him, will never be thirsty again. Sorry. The water that I will give him will become in him a spring of water welling up to eternal life." And that is what she wanted. She saw, and that she only told me afterwards, she saw joy. She saw peacefulness. fruits of the Spirit. I mean, I never talk to her about Jesus. I make a point of not talking to clients about Jesus because I want them to see the fruits in my life. And I'm not saying that I am perfect. In fact, the Lord is working with me every day. My husband will know that. This is a journey for 10 years. So she saw the fruits in my life, and that is what she wanted. She wanted that living water. So at that stage, the testimony was finished, and I was quite nervous because like I said, I have led someone to the Lord about 6 years ago. I was in the baby room the last 6 years. I could do a kiddies church thingy, and that was what I was used to. So luckily, I picked up my phone and I called Cardle. He's just a few meters away, and I said to him, "Honey, you have to come. This client of mine wants to give her heart to the Lord, and I don't know what to do." So Cardle came running down with his big Bible. And I said to Marie, "This is Cardle, this is Marie, my husband, and he will take over from here." And then we sat there, and Cardle just showed us scriptures in the Bible concerning salvation, explaining to her the Holy Spirit, stuff like that. And she was just open, and she just kept on saying, "But I want it now, can I have it?" And me and Cardle started praying for her. And she sat on the bed, and we laid hands on her. And as we prayed for her, I just felt at some stage the sun shining through the window. And I just knew that she got the Holy Spirit, because that is what we prayed for her for. She got the Holy Spirit. And I just want to read to you Galatians 5 verse 22. "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law." So that is the fruit that she saw. Definitely not all of them. I'm working on a few of them still. But I think I've got the joy and the peace and the kindness under control. So after that, she went to France for a month, her and her family. They went on holiday. Marie and her husband and their boy, Timio. They went to France for a month. When she got there, her mom gave her a French Bible because she didn't have a Bible since she was in primary school. And she came back after a month. And I think that same day that she came back, she came to the salon and she stopped in front of the gate. And I could just see that something has changed in her. Now, I've seen her a month ago when we prayed for her to get spiritful. And then she went away. She came back. And she was excited, and she said to me, she got the Bible. It's a French Bible. It's very difficult. She doesn't understand anything in it, but she wants to read it the whole time. So she's reading her French Bible, and that particular day she said to me, "But I want to come to church. I haven't been in church for ages." I think she was in church when she was like very, very small, like in primary school. And I said to her, "Yes, come to church. Come this Sunday. Please come." And it was the 8th of December, and she came to church, and that day was her birthday. It was her birthday, so it was very special to her. And I sat next to her in the praise and worship, and since the praise and worship started, this lady cried, and she was weeping. And I sat next to her, and I thought, "Oh no. She's depressed now. What have I done? I was just feeling, oh my word, what is happening? Why is she crying all the time?" You know, it's like one of these times when you invite someone to church for the first time and you just ask, "Lord, please let no one speak in tongues. Let no one fall over. Don't let anything radical happen. Don't let them be offended." And she just cried, and she wept, and she wept. She was shaking. And then afterwards, Carl preached, and she was fine. And then after the sermon, she came to Carl, and she said to him that she just experienced for the first time in her life, she turned 41 that day. She looks 25. She said for the first time in many years, she came to a church, and she experienced peacefulness, joy, love, people worshiping the Lord with their hands in the air. It was just, to her, it was amazing. She couldn't, the Holy Spirit was so tangible. She couldn't stop crying. And that day she asked Carl that she just felt in this whole sermon that the Holy Spirit has convicted her. She must get married to her husband. Because in France, you just live together. You live together, you have children, and that's just the way it is. So her and Harvey has been living together for 10 years now. They have a boy that's 4. And she just felt that Sunday, the Holy Spirit convicted her. She must get married before God, and Carl must do it. So she and Harvey, that came to our house a few times. We explained everything to them. Carl talked to them. And they decided they want to get married in February. It was this year. So now, the wedding was amazing. I've been to a lot of weddings, including my own, which I thought was the best. But no. When you're not it. And I always thought my wedding was the best. I always thought the Holy Spirit was so there. Everybody could feel it. It was amazing. And I've been to a lot of weddings after that. But I am telling you guys, me and Carl prayed beforehand that the Holy Spirit will just be so present at that wedding. And they got married at the French embassy, did all the legal stuff there. Then we went out to the farm just outside Windhoek. And there was just 34 people, from which 4 of us was Afrikaans speaking. The rest of them was French. They were amazing people, by the way. And when she came walking down the aisle, I started crying. I think I stopped when Carl said amen. My mascara was over here. My head was pounding. It was so emotional because the Holy Spirit was so present there. I mean, even though I just think it was me and Carl and Saint-Marie that was like really having this, and there was another guy as well that was having a relation, like a living relationship with God. There is a difference. Everybody was crying. Everybody at that wedding was crying, including her husband. Marie said to me afterwards, my husband never cries. He's a policeman in France, in the police. He never cries. I tell you, he couldn't stop crying. Since he saw her walking down the aisle, he started crying. And the best part to me was where they had to exchange the wedding vows. You know, where they take the hands, and the husband looks at the wife and says to her, and your God will be my God. Now, Carl said the English version, the girl that translated everything into France, French, whatever, said the French version. And then Harvey took her hand and he looked at Marie and he started crying and he swallowed like this. And he said to her, and your God will be my God. And I cracked. Because I knew this is so real. I mean, this is so real. I mean, you exchange wedding vows, and you guys that's getting married soon, you are so excited that day. You know what you're saying, but I don't think we click what we're saying. It's very, very, it's amazing. So Harvey cried, I cried, of course, Marie cried, everybody cried. So it was very emotional, but it was emotional because God was there. God was present. He touched people's hearts. He touched it in such a way that I phoned one day to the French embassy. I saw I had a missed call from someone there, and the lady that picked up the phone was the French ambassador's PA or something, and I said to her, just tell the girl that Maritza phoned, it's a hairdresser, oh, are you the pastor's wife that the wedding and everybody cried and it was so emotional and this and that. I'm like, okay, yes, that's it's that wedding, it's that hairdresser. So people talked about it because they could sense God there. Then in March, I think it was about middle March, Marie came to the salon again one day, had her hair done. We were talking. the next moment we were talking about her spiritual life and how she's growing and she's loving it and how she's changed and how Harvey can see the change in her life and everything. And the next moment she said to me, "You know what? I think I need to be baptized." And I said to her, "Why?" I didn't tell her that. Nobody told her that. And she just said, I just know I have to be baptized. She just knows it. I mean, like, she came to church a few times. She's reading her Bible. They go away a lot, so she can't come to church that often. She's not getting massive teachings, Bible school, this or that. Bible school is good, by the way. Just do Bible school. It is good. But I mean, the Holy Spirit inside her convicted her that she needs to be baptized. It wasn't a big thing. It was just something she had to do. So I just want to read to you John 16, verse 13, where he says, "When the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all truth. For he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak." And Carl, I said to Carl that Marie wants to be baptized. And she emailed him and she said to him that she wants to come and see him. And they had a few, they spoke to each other. I think Liesl was still in the office as well. And she just knew. She just, Carl asked her, "Who convinced you to be baptized?" And she just says, "I felt it in my heart. I felt it in my heart. It's that easy." And I remember, it was with me, it was the same. I remember I got saved 27th of June, and it was the 2nd of September. I just started getting scripture about baptism. It was never, should the water be cold? Should it be warm? Should I be in a bath, in a swimming pool, in the sea, in the dam? It was not, it was just, I need to get baptized. Finished. And to her, it was the same. She just needed to be baptized. So we made an appointment for the baptism, which happened yesterday morning. And it was amazing. We went there at 10 o'clock. It was me, Carl. Oh, yeah, there we are, in the 21 degrees water. I never swim in 21 degrees water. I only go into the pool when it's 33. So me and Carl met Johnny there, and the kids was there, and Harvey and Marie, and their little boy Timio. The pool was open and everything. And we started talking, and Carl asked Marie just to, you know, just in two lines, why does she feel she needs to be baptized? She spoke for 12 minutes. She couldn't stop. She was like, going on and on. She just talked about how these last 6 months Jesus has been working in her life. The Holy Spirit has been working in her life. She had joy she never had before. She had peacefulness she never had before. She was always a very anxious person. I could sense that. She was always very control freak. If she can't control it, she freaked out. And she said that she's just at that place where she had faith. Whenever she had a problem or trouble, she knew that she could refer to God. Where within the past, she always asked her mom, "Who is God? Where is God? Why am I sick? Why am I this? Why am I that?" And she knew she had faith. And no one can take that away from her. So she talked for 12 minutes. We made a whole video clip of it. Johnny made a whole clip. It is amazing. I think I listened to it already 5 times since yesterday, because to me it's just, I can't get over it. And we got into the pool. It was very cold. But it's amazing how when you get into that cold water, I said to Carl yesterday, I only clicked it yesterday when we got home, I hate cold water. And I got into the cold water, and then all of a sudden when we took her hands and we baptized her, you just forget about everything. You just so experience the Holy Spirit and the presence of God. It's so tangible. And we baptized her. She came out, and I just felt that, and I said to her, and I started crying, and I just said to her, Marie, you know, that question that you asked me, I want what you have. People are going to ask you that as well, because you want it so badly, and you have it now, and no one can take it away from you. And I just felt that they're just going to be in Namibia for a few months, then they're going back to France. And I just felt that if she's going back to France, that question is going to be repeated. People are going to ask her, Marie, what is it that you have? I want that. I want it now. And it's going to be those fruits of the Spirit. It's going to be those fruits of the Spirit that people are going to see. We don't have to walk with the Bible underneath our arms. We can just live life with Jesus inside of us. We are not perfect. I am not perfect. I make mistakes. Carl can confirm that, as I said. I just want to challenge you just to be a part of this. Just the season that the church is in. I'm excited about what Jesus is doing. I am. I'm really excited. Live your life and be who you are. Be who Jesus made you to be. And have those fruits of the Spirit. I'm not saying that we have all of them under control. Every day, God is working in our lives. But praise God, He's working in our lives. And yeah, just live your life the way Jesus wants you to live it. And all that I can say is I can't wait for the next divine appointment in my salon, at home, in Checkers, wherever, I don't care. I just want to be available. I just want to put myself available. And I want to challenge each one of you to ask God to use you wherever, in your work, at the gym, wherever, just make yourself available, because He will use you. Because it's not about us, it's about Him. I think Johnny just wants to quickly share a little something about yesterday.
Thank you, Maritza. It's amazing. I love it when Maritza preaches, because she grips your heart and she just ushers you into a different spiritual realm where you get inspired, where you... where you want to be in a salon or at your work and you want to share that. And it's amazing, the scripture came to me. I just quickly want to read it to us while I was sitting there. Yes, I'm actually so nervous and so convicted by the Spirit because of a testimony. Because yesterday I felt the story of the woman at the well again, and now it's getting shared again. And I'm just like, Lord, what are we missing? And it's that excitement, that ability to go full-heartedly after God. And this is what this woman has, Marie. She just goes for Jesus. And she shares everything. She's not afraid to offend, because she knows God just gives her the divine appointments on her life. And how she speaks perfect doctrine to a mother about baptism without ever studying that doctrine. And then I was just so amazed about the presence that she carries. And just her... just a passion to want to be closer. The other scripture that she quoted, or that Carl told her, when you draw near to me, I will draw near to you. And that's exactly what she's after. She says, I want to get baptized because I want to closer to God. But in this broken French accent, but you can understand everything, and your spirit is so alive, and that impartation that she gives is so amazing. And I'm so glad Maritza shared a part of her testimony. Because this is what I, where am I? 3:15. But this is 1 Peter 3, verse 15. But sanctify the Lord God in your heart, and always be ready to give a defense to everyone who asks you a reason for the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. And it's that hope that she saw in Maritza. And that was just so amazing, that the life that she lived portrayed her godliness, that God worked through her and started to ask her, what is this that you have? Her faith that I experienced yesterday was so untainted by the world. She said she lost her faith because she was Roman Catholic. And she says, the religion killed her, and it killed her faith. She lost her faith. But God has given it back to her. And it is so beautiful to see untainted faith. because I know as my walk with God as well, I allow these lies to come in, like, you can't share the gospel now because you're going to offend this person. You can't live your testimony now because this is just not the right place and right time, and this woman just lives it. And people are just drawn to that. And they're just drawn to the presence that she carries. Yeah, I also want to take up that challenge. Because I know this last few 2 weeks that have been passed, it has been difficult for me to live it in my work area. It has been a struggle to where God gives you that door and you're just like, no, Lord, not now. It's not now. I can't do it now. And for us to take up that challenge, this is a season that is amazing, that we're going to go out and we're going to see things happen and change. And the thing that changed me the most these past 2 weeks, past 3 weeks, was when we went out and we went with Marius and carried the cross and I saw someone come to salvation, and that changed my life. And yesterday, I saw this woman testify, and she couldn't stop testifying, and she just wanted to speak about what God has been doing in her life. Same with the woman that went back, the woman at the well, to the city where she came from, where people judged her, and she just spoke life. And I want to encourage us to have that expectation that, Lord, I want to see someone's life change because I want mine to change, because that is when we change, when we see radical change in people's lives. And it was truly so amazing. This is very inspirational, especially Maritza just telling her testimony about how it started and how God's time is way different. I'm an evangelist, so I'm very impatient with people. And this just encouraged me again just to allow God to be God, and to live that part that He has called us for. Yesterday I got a word for her, but I believe there's someone here that needs to hear it as well. God showed me a pearl, a rock, and a grain of rice. Yeah, and a grain of rice. And that pearl, I think there's a lady or two ladies here that God wants to tell you, you're His pearl of great price, and He gave up everything for you. And that's what I had to tell her as well. And that's very important for us to know and to understand that God gave up that everything. He also showed me that she will have this spiritual anointing where she can walk and break just strongholds of people. And it is so true. She just walks and you can just feel stuff lift off of you and you change. And you just don't know why, but you change. And then she loves water. When rice is in water, it soaks up that water and it becomes edible. And that's what we do when we confine the Holy Spirit. We just soak up that Holy Spirit and we just walk with that presence and people start to change around us. I just quickly want us to stand.
I'm so excited. Sorry, I have to share this. But anyways, with regard to what Maritza preached, my friend works at the French embassy. And it's quite interesting that she did not know that. She basically knows the lady's husband. And one day, after they got married, she was shocked that they got married because she never thought French people. She even said to me, French people. It doesn't make sense. But anyway, so one day we're talking and she's like, you will not believe it. This man, this French man, is playing gospel music in the office. And I'm like, wait. I think I know who you're talking about. The wife just got saved in our church. She's like, what? You are lying. French people saved. I cannot believe it. But it's quite interesting that the Lord can really just move and we don't see it coming. We don't hear it coming, but it's exciting. And also, while we were worshiping today, I saw a picture of a bride walking the aisle. And it's quite interesting that Marissa shared on that. Walking the aisle, and I felt God saying, we are His bride. And He delights in us. And that bride was really, really happy.
Church, I think the Holy Spirit is speaking to us very clearly about our testimony for a long time now. And we should live it and also speak it. And this morning, God just showed me that when He said He removed sin, we are the only ones that linger on our previous life and the shame of what we did. He doesn't. And when we have difficulty in sharing it, do we then truly believe that He removed it? previously old covenant, he just covered sin. It's been removed. And when we walk in that boldness and we testify in that boldness, it changes people's lives. And I want everyone to quickly close their eyes. Everyone. And this is something that you will need to allow the Holy Spirit to change in you. I want you to cry out to God and say, Lord, I can't do this, but I know with you I can do this, and I'm excited to do this. I want to have this untainted faith and this joy and a testimony that spreads like wildfire and convicts people to just ask, yes, what is this living God? Holy Spirit, thank you that you are here, and I pray that you just release in us our testimonies, Lord. Father God, release in us our testimonies. Now, Lord, let me rather say, give us the boldness to speak it, for you have already released it in our hearts. You have already personalized the gospel in our spirits, Lord. Father God, I want to repent of the worldly thoughts and our own thoughts that come into that most holiest that you have given us to speak from, Lord. And Lord, just to renew it, just to make it clean, so that we can start trusting you for the impossible again. That we would not just be a flash of emotion, Lord, but we will be baptized in your heart. If there's anyone here this morning that you know you don't have a living relationship with God, and as Maritza spoke, that you're like, I also want that. If that's you this morning, it's a heart change and you can just come boldly before God in his throne room. If that's you this morning, I just want you to quickly raise your hand. Just to say, Lord, I want that living relationship. Or you have backslidden and you don't have it. Thank you for that hand. Just to say, Lord, this is me. I want that. I want that living relationship. I want to make that decision, even if I have to make it again. If that's you and God's tugging on your heart, I want you to raise your hand. I want to tell you, ladies, that you are worthy before him. And you carry a tremendous amount of worth. And that whatever the devil has been lying to you about, that you are unworthy, you're not beautiful, you need to look more like the image of the world than the image that God speaks over you. That is a lie, and in Jesus' name we come against it.
Yes, church, what's in my heart is just the new covenant that's in Jesus that John also mentioned. And this new covenant is a very special covenant. It's a promise and a commitment from God's side to never leave us or forsake us. And Jesus said that, eat this bread and drink this wine. This is a new covenant broken, my body and my blood spilled for you. This new covenant is just, it's God doing all, and he's the one doing everything, and we just have to respond to it. Yeah.
If you need prayer for anything, for a release of testimony, or if you need to respond to that word, then ladies, you are worthy. Now, if you raised your hand, you want this living relationship, you want this intimacy, then I'll encourage you to quickly come forward. Thank you.
I just feel that if you are here this morning and you are struggling with just relationships, especially boy-girl relationships, like Johnny said, there's ladies here that feel they are not worthy. And I can just testify, coming out of a divorce, being broken, and feeling ashamed, and feeling that I do not deserve a husband. The Lord made me a virgin again, and He gave me a husband. I was only 8 months saved, and I didn't even feel that I deserved it. And the Lord gave me the best husband that He could have given me. And if you are here today and you feel that I'm not worthy of a husband, that's a lie. You only deserve the best. And Jesus got the best in store for you. If you feel like that, I just want you to come to the front. Just come to me. I want to pray with you. Just come to me.
Last night, as I was praying, I just sensed a vision of a pearl, a ring. So when Maritza was talking about the pearl, I got this excitement and so on. And I also just sensed a vision, you know, somewhere in the Bible it speaks of how God stores the clouds and everything, and He brings them forth and it comes. And I just also just sensed this vision, you know, like when the enemy comes to lie, like it's somebody that is smoking cigarettes, and you know that when they puff that smoky part that is intoxicating, that intoxicates your body. But God wants to birth. God wants to bring that freshness. It's like a cloud coming from the depths of the ocean or from the waterfall. And
ask the ladies, there's an anointing for the ladies to share their hearts, and I know there are many of you that are scared and don't want to come to the front, but now I'm going to do something bold, and I'm going to ask you to turn to one another and to pray for one another, because God wants to do healing and He wants us to open up our hearts. If you've struggled, but I don't want a guy to pray for a lady, I want the ladies to pray for one another. And I want love to be here. Just that compassion. So, ladies, pray for one another, please.
I just want to share something in my heart that the Lord showed me while we were worshiping this earlier. And it's just Psalm 71, verses 7. I've become a wonder to many, but you are my strong refuge. And then just from verse 14, but I will hope continually and I will praise you yet more and more. My mouth shall tell of your righteousness and your salvation all the day, for I do not know their limits. We sometimes so limit God in what He is and what He can do. And it's just the freedom that He brings, that He gives us, that love, that amazing power that just comes from His anointing, His presence. That was just an amazing testimony that we heard. That is our testimony as well. And it carries power. And we have that amazing testimony living in us. It's just Jesus Christ, His love, that is just so profound that we can receive. Amen.